Hey, this is Jody T. Pratt. I wrote a book, Midnight Snacks: A Dark Collection, 13 Disturbing Tales of the Misfortune. If you like the bizarre and all things dark, and you love this show, you'll love this. Midnight Snacks: A Dark Collection on Amazon right now. The link will be in the description. On with the show. Lights, camera, action. Welcome to the Scrapbook Podcast, Director's Cut. And welcome back to the Scrapbook Podcast, Director's Cut. I am your host, Jody Pratt, and my fellow host,
Patrick Whipple.
P-Eazy is back in this bitch. Y'all missed him.
No, they didn't.
Y'all missed him. That's why y'all follow, not because of my sultry love is in the air. All right, anyway. P has a story for you guys. Take it away, brother.
All right. Let's go. So, it's going to be in like Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to call this shit probably like the late 60s, early 70s. Let's call it late 80s, just for the technology it's using. But it's Terry Mitchell. We'll just call him Terry Mitchell. Backwoods boy came up on a little bit of money and bought the back 40 on a property that he's been wanting, that's attached to hundreds of thousands of national forests, hundreds of thousands of acres, right? And he's a country boy, so all he wants to do is hunt. So he sets up game cameras to be able to catch, you know, the game trails and see what's running through his property. Because he has a good amount of it and he can hunt it, and that's the whole reason for buying this property. And so when you set up game cameras, you normally come back not immediately. This is only about a month or so, sometimes longer, but for this situation, it's going to be about a month as he gets situated in his house and whatever, whatnot. And so he, when he goes to grab the cameras, he knows he's got a lot of photos, and he's like, nice, we're on the trail, we got something here. I'm going to see everything that's running through my property. And when he gets home, he starts to sort through it, and he's seeing, you know, the local shit that's in the area, deer, yada, 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 badger. He's like, oh, what the fuck is that? But then what he comes up on ends up being like a picture of a man, what would look like a man carrying what looks like a child, you know, and these are 60-second clips. So he's just seeing him walk past it, and then he's catching on to another game trail, picking it up. So it's not like the game trail is seeing the entire thing. It's just he's able to kind of chart it out to where this dude is dumping the bodies, right? And so as the dude is carrying the body, he sees him drop the person down. And before he leaves, the dude always like combs it, the person's hair, right? And all he's seeing is clips of the moment, but it's really like, how long was he there for? Because I got a lot of clips of him doing the exact same thing. And so he's dropping these bodies off in the middle of this dude's back 40, leading into hundreds of thousands of public land or whatnot.
What the fuck is a back 40?
A back 40 apparently is like, from my understanding, a back 40 is like that 40 acres you're willing to get rid of.
Oh, so it's like an unkempt kind of.
Yeah, it's not great. It's the back 40. It's not your prime real estate. And so you get it for the cheap. But like, you realize you're going to have to put in mad money to get this shit to be any kind of livable. Mm-hmm. It's like the worst part of your land, pretty much.
Okay.
But so as he sees that, he's like, yo, I think this person is killing people. Because he sees him, I want to say twice in 1 month. And he doesn't immediately call the cops. He has to go through his own like personal thing of like, there's somebody on my property dropping bodies, should I go check it out? the better side of him says, call the cops and have them figure this out. That way my hands are clean of it. I don't want to show up to some shit and then I get roped in with it. And so he calls the sheriff's department. Sheriff sends out two detectives because he's saying that I have evidence of a murder or of a murderer, you know, dropping bodies on my property. So two detectives show up. I'm going to call one Sherman. I'll call one Wilkes. And Wilkes is a native to the area. And Sherman is an import from Philadelphia. So he's a little bit of ways, but he's kind of in the same, kind of in the same region. But he did defer a promotion or whatnot. So they come up and they ask him what happens. And he says, hey, you know, I have photo evidence of somebody dropping bodies on my property. I'd like you to come, like, check that out and go see if something is actually happening or is somebody fucking around with me. And they're like, how long have you had these photos? It's like a few days. You know, I have to travel out a day and a half to get to it. So I'm not going out there often. And then it took me a day and a half to get back. I got back and I really had to sit on it and understand what the fuck I was seeing. And they're just like, okay. So Sherman, the dude from out of town, is like, we'll take these and we'll talk to you. We're going to take them back to the station and see what happens. And I preface that with saying that they do show, dude shows him the actual photos that he has. And they're blurry photos, but you can clearly get an idea of what the person looks like. And the two detectives take two separate ways about dealing with it. One is like, let's get this back to the station, see if we can break this down a little bit more and get a better visual and put out an APB for this person and see if there's any missing people in that area. And the other dude's like, we need to get out there now because if he's doing this shit on this regular of a basis, we should probably get on top of that. And so they have a little back and forth, and they settle on, let's figure this out before we leave because this dude's out a ways. So this isn't like something where like we can have the whole squad here in 10 minutes. So let's not try to rile up everybody from this small town and go run after Ghost. Let's go see if there's a reason we should be doing this. And so they head out, but it's a trek to get out there. And as they're moving and grooving, doing their thing, you start to see little bits of their character come out. And I like to think that Wilkes, the native born dude, the dude to the region, is constantly questioning it, like, how long have you lived here? You've never noticed anybody walking to your property? And he's like, I've only lived here about a month, you know, month and a half. I just bought this back for you. And he's like, why'd you buy this? He's like, it'd be a really easy way to dump bodies. And so he's already kind of trying to skew it towards
skeptical and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Story. And Sherman is more like of a man of reason, and he's not so accusatory. And he's definitely like, hey, like, why would you call us if you don't know what's going on here? This could be a stunt pulled off by some kids. And he's like, I don't, my nearest neighbor is 45 minutes away. I don't think kids are going out into the woods and dropping off their friend and it's a joke. And he's like, because that camera hasn't ticked off again. Once he dropped that body and left it, I got nothing. And so as they reach the spot, or they're coming up on the spot, they start to notice like articles of clothing. And they're all that of like young boys. So it's like a young baseball cap, like a young boy's baseball cap or, you know, a small tank top or whatnot. And they're just like, this is not good. And when they come upon the scene of it, I would say Wilkes is walking up and when he sees the first person, he kind of just like stops, but you don't see terror in his face. You see more of like, fuck. And when Sherman and the man who owns the property see it, their hands touch their heads and they're like, what the fuck am I seeing? And you see at least a dozen 11, 12-year-old boys in their undies dead, beat to death with a rock, right? And
with their hair combed.
With their hair combed, though. And that's the fucked up part, because while they're like going through it and they're looking at it, in my head a visual would be like one of them like starting to dry heave and having to look away, and then Sherman being like, this dude's been at it for a long time. He has to be great at this shit. He has to be older. He has to be this or that. And you look over to Wilkes, and Wilkes is just standing there looking at them, watch that unfold and see how they take it, instead of instead of adding his own shit. The dude is just watching them understand it and seeing where they go with it before he makes his next move. And then I would say they're like, we got to get back to the station. This is a serial killer. We need to put out a whole ass like manhunt for this person. And when his partner turns around, he shoots him in the face.
Ooh.
Wilkes shoots Sherman in the face. And the owner of the property is like, what the fuck? And just runs off into the distance. And Wilkes shoots at him a few times and misses. Maybe nicks him, maybe. And then he's on the pursuit for him. And as he's running, I think this would be the only add-in that I'd add to it. As he's running, it clips into like a memory of somebody running in that same jacket. And it's his son running through the woods. And him chasing him and him being like, where did you go? You've been gone for days. And he's just like, I was out. Why are you like, leave me alone, Dad. And he's just like, is that blood again? And you realize that Wilkes is hiding all this shit for his son. And he didn't know that he was being led out there to see what his son's been doing. But he knows where his son goes missing. And he knows that he's seen these boys around the house. Like, he's seen them coming to play games or something like that. You know, like, he was at the house last week playing Atari. And then I remember seeing missing posters, and I didn't think anything about it. But the father is somewhat of a sociopath and killer himself, but he's just put a badge on top of it to be able to freely do it and nobody check him for it. Clearly, he can't just go on rampages, but he can kill somebody if he needs to and be like, he pulled his gun out first. And this is the late 80s, you feel me, in Tennessee. Nobody was tripping. So he's chasing the dude down that owns the property. They get into a hard scuffle, and he bangs his head on the rock the same way that all those boys that fucking got killed. And he gets up, and he's like in a sweaty panic. And he's like, fuck, now I'm back in the game and my partner's dead. They've got record of me leaving with this dude. It was a report called in. And he calmly, like, situates himself and, like, runs his hands through his hair the exact same way that the boys' hairs are all combed. And it's a play on that. That's what he used to do to his son after he come home from killing somebody. Was like he'd come home and fix his son's hair in bed or some shit like that. And so it's like he realized once he saw the hair the way it was, he was like, fuck. And he knew. And so he immediately was like, I've got to take care of my own. I'm going to fucking kill these people to save my son. And so it kind of ends on that like, acknowledgement that he's It's his son that he's taking care of. And
so where's his son?
His son is not in the movie. Outside of those pictures and outside of the one memory of him chasing him, like, where have you been? And he's like, is that blood again? That's the only time you really see his son. The whole story is about a father figuring out that his son is a killer and being like, fuck, you took after me more than I thought you did. Because he's in the profession to do that, but he thought his son was just gay. And this is like the late 80s. I'm being serious. Like, he thought his son was just gay, and he was like, I don't understand you. I can't understand why you leave for hours at night. I don't know what you're doing.
So who's the detective again?
Sherman and Wilkes.
Okay, so who has the son?
Wilkes.
Okay, so so who killed the kids?
Wilkes' son.
Oh, look, peep this. At the beginning, we don't know if it's a body or not. It's just a body-shaped thing, right? That'll make the characters, the police officers, more of a standalone characters. Have us involved with a little bit more. Because they go out.
What's up? Right there. Boom. He gets it from an angle where you don't see the person. All you see is the bodies being dropped off and somebody walking at a distance. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I haven't been out there in a month. And I don't check these that often because I've been busy. And he's like, I need to get out there again. Do y'all want to go with me?
Yeah, it's real suspicious activity.
Real suspicious, and I prefer to. And they're just like, that does look like, you know, a drop-off point. If that's the only activity you're getting in that area. And they're going out there, and maybe.
Like, before they go out there, though, he calls his son. Maybe. Because I wanted to maybe end with him trying to ring his son. Again, his son just doesn't pick up the fucking phone. You know what I mean?
Well, on a back 40, in the 80s, you're not getting a call out.
No. I'm talking about, like, in the whip before they leave the precinct. You know what I'm saying? Because they, or at the precinct when these, they're doing all the fucking paperwork on these dead bodies and shit. The papers are stacked up. It's like an overhead light is on. He's the only nigga in the office, and he gives his son a ring. Because he accepted his son for who he was, knowing that he killed all these little boys, right?
He doesn't know that.
Oh.
He knows none of this.
He doesn't know his son's a killer?
No. No, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, initially, he saw a picture and went out there, but then when you were like, or when I switched it up and I was like, what if he's like, there's suspicious activity and clearly there's bodies there, mm-hmm, because maybe like ravens and shit are popping up. And so he's seeing snippets of ravens on a body or something. And he's like, there's bodies out there. And he's like, I don't feel safe enough to go out there, but I can take you to where it's at. And then they go out there. Son's not out there. Son isn't killing that day. And they retrieve the shit. They look it up. And on those photos, they're like, that's a face. And when he sees the face, he's like, that's my son. And nobody else is aware of it besides him because him and his partner aren't close like that. Mm. It's not like a you want to go get a beer after work kind of relationship. It's like a I clock off, see you tomorrow at 7.
Yeah.
You got coffee tomorrow kind of thing. Okay. You know, it's not like they hate each other, but they are not. Once they leave that job, they want to leave that job. So that's kind of what it's about, is that he's not completely honest or upfront about the fact that he kind of thinks he might know what it is. But the fact that, like, in the photo of when he's running in the flannel and he grabs him and he's like, where have you been? That's the flannel that he was in the picture.
Right.
So he's like, that's my son's flannel. I know that flannel anywhere. Because that was the day I caught him with blood on him. And he couldn't tell me where it came from. And he didn't have a gun on him. He wasn't hunting. And he's always in the woods. He's always in the woods for some fucking reason. And there is no resolution to it. He kills both of them in cold blood and fixes his hair and walks away. And I would say, like, it as he's walking away, it kind of pans out. And you just see the multitude of bodies. And you realize it's not just one or two. It's dozens of young boys that he's just been killing and then leaving out in the middle of his back 40. Because nobody owned it. Nobody owned it until, you know, a month and a half ago. And now nobody owns it again. So, you know, that's it.
What do you call it?
Honestly, I did not think about a fucking name for it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Back 40 seems a bit.
That's pretty spot on. I like it.
You like Back 40?
Yeah, that's what it's literally about.
Yeah, well, then let's call it Back 40. But yeah. That's what, yeah.
I feel like it's a little complicated when it comes to, like the father-son dynamic. And it would be to breathe on that like a little bit more, because if, and honestly, when did cameras start to come out?
Cameras have been out for a hot ass minute. The quality hasn't been super great.
Right.
But they've been out since like the 70s.
For the woods and shit.
Yeah. Not
just like it's a trip camera.
Yes, it's a motion sensor.
So those have been out?
Yeah.
Since the 70s?
Yeah, because that's how they got all the old school, like, footages of, like, snow leopards. Like, all of the... That's how they got footage of a lot of the creatures that we thought were extinct or whatever, or weren't in that region, was because of trail cams. It's not hard, nigga. It's just a camera that clicks when you move past it, so you end up getting a billion pictures of like a crow that is just really invested in that fucking thing, or you get like, you know, random shit. But yeah, and that's why I wanted to push it closer to that, because I like the 60s. That's my playground as far as like creatively, but realistically the late 80s early 90s would be a better time for it, just because we did have the technology, just wasn't advanced enough to where you get a clear picture. And that's what puts you in the grave, is a clear picture. Some kind of foggy, bro, that could be anybody, bro.
So what, when he notices his son, did he try to contact him at all?
He's already in the back 40. This is pulled up on like a little like CD-ROM disc.
CD-ROMs are not in the 70s, nigga.
That's why I said late 80s and 90s, nigga. Oh,
you know what? You said cameras were made in the 70s. I'm stuck on the 70s for some reason.
I said that was my playground. I was like, the 60s and 70s, that's creatively
fun. So he kills them then and there in the forest?
Yeah, but like later. Like it's not immediately.
Mm.
Because what I would say is that he picked up the camera. He picks up one of the cameras on the way in. Inserts the USB or whatever it is, the floppy disk. You know what I mean? And then he's like, see right there, that's a picture of him. And he's got like a Bigfoot-esque photo, but he's like, I know my son's walk, and I know that flannel. And it's like a, what would you call it? Like a ritual to wear the same clothes for him when he does this. And so he sees it, and he's like, that's my son. And he's like, fuck. And then that's when they run into the bodies. And they start seeing the clothes, and then they run into the bodies. And then he stops, and he's just like, it was him. And then they walk past him, and like, what the fuck? And then you just see him in the background, his eyes going back and forth between both of them to see how they're reacting to it.
Mm.
And then he's just like... He's like, we've got to call everybody out here. We got to call everybody out here. There's at least 24 bodies out here, man. There's fucking 2 Wilkes. And he turns around, bow, right in the kisser. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the owner's like, what the fuck? Runs away, shoots him, chase each other. They have a good little scuffle. And then he beats his head on a rock, and then he fixes his hair and finds his way out of the woods to go find his son.
You know what fucked me up? It was the fixing the hair part. That's why I got confused with them together.
Fixing the hair?
Fixing the hair.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the dad characteristic, but it's the son characteristic.
It's what the son got every time the father came home from killing somebody.
So where his body's at?
In the precinct, nigga.
Oh.
He got his licks in legally. Mm. And that was the whole thing. When he was younger, he did murder a few people, but he got away from it because he wasn't so consistent with the way he did it.
So was it just him and the son?
Yeah. I would say the mom left because he was a weirdo. And he was devoted to work so much because he's like, I need to get this kill. I'm going to fucking lose my shit on you again. And she kind of, and mom's going to get the vibe on a weirdo. She probably got the vibes off of him. Like, he's always squeezing the cat. Always squeezing the cat. And so it's just him growing up. But like, when he found out his son was gay, he kind of took a step back. Late 80s.
His son was gay?
Yes, nigga. He's...
I'm so sorry, nigga.
God damn it, Joseph.
Oh, fuck. That blew right over my fucking head.
Yeah, that's the whole point why it's nothing but young boys.
I was going to ask you if it was something pedophilic with that.
Yeah, he's like, the son is like 17, but these boys are like 12, 13.
He's 17 years old?
Yeah.
Holy fuck, dude.
But he's a country boy, so he's strong. You feel me? Yeah. But he knows this area because he grew up in it. He knows where his dad patrols because his dad bends his ear on shit he doesn't want to hear. Mm. But now that he's dumping off bodies, he's like, this is the area to do it because nobody owns his land and nobody comes back here. It's too overgrown. And he happened to be following the game trail, ran to a fucking trail camera, and that's what it exposed him. He has no airtime on this shit outside of that one running away scene and the pictures. And, like, maybe, like, one or two calls during the movie. Like, I would say it'd be nice for him to be, for you to introduce to the character with him calling and nobody answers. He's like, hey, this is Trevor. Couldn't get to the phone right now. Sorry. And then he's just like, God damn it. And they're just like, and then Sherman comes in like, we've got a case. Let's go. He's like, oh, God damn it. And then he grabs his paperwork and gets up and goes. And then on his way out, before they leave the precinct, he calls him again. He's like, hey, this is Trevor. Sorry I can get to the phone. I'll get back to you. He's like, son of... And he hangs up. And then the story continues. So you realize he's trying to get in contact with him because he's not responding anymore. Mm. And that's kind of the whole deal, is that he's unaware until he sees the photos. So he's going out there to be a detective. He's going out there to be a good guy, even though he's not a good guy. And then, you know, fuck around. Them niggas had to fuck around and find out. and Sherman lost his whole bottom mouth. And the owner got the back of his head beat in.
I like that. Bam. So what stops him from... Are they going to move the locations of the bodies?
That's not a part of it.
Okay, cool.
It's just the resolution is these two people are no longer looking for a son, and there's no evidence outside of what he's going to destroy. The only evidence that they have of these murders is that trail cam footage, which I just killed two people. I'm definitely going to destroy this footage. You don't know how he gets back to town. You don't know what he says to the officers.
And that doesn't even
matter.
Doesn't
fucking matter. That's a whole different part of the thing.
Yeah. What was this story called?
The Back 40.
I like that shit. That was The Back 40 by Patrick Wakefall. I'm your host, Jody Pratt, with my fellow host, Patrick Wakefall. We love you. Don't stop being creative. Peace.
Thanks.